We drove all night to beat the crowd. We were going to Washington to attend the 3rd National Negro Congress. Fog hung over the Delaware roads, over the fields and creeks, so that we could not tell water from grass, except in spots where the fog had lifted. Our headlights brought no answering reflection from the red glass discs on the road signs. Coming out of some town, the driver failed to see a road marker and almost wrecked the car. It shook us awake, and we talked to keep the driver alert. Then two things happened to give the trip to the Congress a sharp meaning. It was the sun that started it. It appeared beyond the fog like a flame, as though a distant farmhouse was afire. One of the boys remembered Natchez, Mississippi, and began talking about it. Ellison refers to the Rhythm Club fire of April 1940 in Natchez, Mississippi. Exits inside the Negro nightclub became blocked while decorations of Spanish moss fueled the flames, and before help arrived, over 200 Negroes burned to death in the crowded club. I felt depressed. A friend of mine was from Natchez, and some of the victims had his family name, and I wondered if any had been his relatives. We talked about conditions down south, and I hoped someone from Natchez would attend the Congress so I could hear about the fire firsthand. Outside of Baltimore, we began passing troops of cavalry. They were stretched along the highway for a mile. Young fellows in khaki with campaign hats strapped beneath their chins, jogging stiffly in their saddles. I asked one of my companions where they were going and was told that there was an army camp nearby. Someone said that I would find out soon enough, and I laughed and said that I was a black Yank and was not coming. But already the troops of cavalry were becoming linked in my mind with the Natchez fire. Where were the troops going? We in the car were going to the 3rd National Negro Congress. But what did that mean? Then I was aware that all 5 of us in the car were of Army age, and that just as suddenly as the troops had appeared atop the hill, we might be called to war. Here we were, young Negroes, bitter about the conditions responsible for Natchez and faced with the danger of war, heading for Washington, D.C. I thought about the Congress. I remembered that some of the Negro papers had been carrying glowing accounts of Army life and of the joys of the black French soldiers. Would there be many at the Congress who had succumbed to these stories? John L. Lewis had asked the support of the Congress in forming a new political movement, possibly a third party, to continue the New Deal measures forsaken by Roosevelt. What would be the response of the Congress? There were rumors that one of the Congress leaders had sold out. How would the rank and file react? Would I find in Washington an affirmation of the Negroes' will to unity and freedom that would remove the deep sense of the danger of war, which had made the sudden appearance of the troops of cavalry seem like a revelation of our fate? For years, Negroes have struggled for that unity, seeking to find their allies, sometimes gaining, and sometimes losing ground. And in all Negroes, at some period of their lives, there is that yearning for a sense of group unity that is the yearning of men for a flag, for a unity that cannot be compromised, that cannot be bought, that is conscious of itself, of its strength, that is militant. I had come to realize that such a unity is unity of a nation and of a class. I had thought vaguely of the Congress in such terms, but it was more like a hope to be realized. I had not thought to seek this sense of affirmation in it. Now I realize that this was the need it must fill for myself and for others. Negroes from the North, South, East, and West were heading for Washington, seeking affirmation of their will to freedom. They were coming with their doubts and with their convictions. It was more than just another trip to another Congress. When we entered the suburbs of Washington, I noticed that the car moved much more slowly than before and started to ask why. But I remembered there is always that fear among Negroes going from the North into the South of running afoul of Southern custom and Jim Crow laws. The driver knew that we were driving into the capital of the United States and of legal Jim Crow. The car nosed its way cautiously.